Good morning.
Good morning.
Who's going to the fair? Raise your hands.
I want to.
Who's going to, is there even a mouse game anymore? Is that, did the, oh, there is?
I'm sure that funds the fair.
Well, I, with the whole sometimes the animal thing, I thought maybe they said that was cruel to the mouse or something, so they stopped the game. Becky. You were late. Teasing. Wow, this one's like.
What did I do now?
That water's boiling at your house.
Yeah. Becky, pray over me and over the service. We're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. I just felt led and drawn, so if you would, open us up. Amen. Open up to Luke chapter 4. I have, there's times where you're not sure what you're supposed to do, but this one, this morning's pretty crystal clear for me about what the Lord wants to do. I do need this board real quick. We'll see how this works. Joe, did this marker work? The what? This blue one doesn't? Hey, look at that. Marker works. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Okay, I'll draw a line there. Go, therefore. Ooh, that was bad. Go, therefore. I'm going to kind of draw a line here for a minute. I'm going to have a little bit of going back in history. Let's say it like this. I would call these bookends, if you will. These would be bookends of Jesus' ministry. We'll look at this here in just a little bit, but this is Luke 4, okay, and this is Matthew 28. Now, technically, probably there were later things and earlier things said, but generally speaking, this was a very early statement that Jesus made at the baptism of John. He went into the wilderness, and when he came back into Galilee, and we'll look at this here in a minute. So this was very early where he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me, and we'll look at that scripture in a second. Calling that the front side. And the last thing, this is Matthew 28. I don't know technically if it's the last thing he said before he went up to heaven, but it was one of the last things where the disciples came to him, and we'll look at this scripture here in just a second, where he said, go ye therefore into all the world. Now, there's been a really significant download for me. I'm really encouraged. I think Holy Spirit is working and doing a lot of things. We're going to set some things up for what I think the next, for me, the next 6 to 8 months are. This is great. Hey, buddy. How are you? What? Him and I could just hang out here for a while. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Go therefore. I heard that statement in my spirit at the missions conference. Linda and I were down in Kentucky, and we'll go through that here in just a minute. But I heard the Lord drop that to me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Therefore, go. I hadn't connected necessarily that was these two verses as I came back in the last week or so, kind of dug around in that. This message today is almost entirely about the Holy Spirit. Interesting. Ray, you've been on that. Linda, you were on that. You were also on the go part, go out into the thing. This is really strong in me. We'll connect some dots here. I wanted just to kind of start with this so that your brain can... I'd say that means to take that back, so that your spirit, your heart, can begin to hear what these ears aren't hearing, but what the ears of your spirit are hearing, in that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, This really, let's do it like this. This is a hymn. I don't know if you can see that, capital H. This would be a hymn, Jesus, but this is an us, okay? Now, he went after this. I don't get too far down in the rabbit hole, but this is the Spirit of the Lord is upon him, was upon him. Therefore, at the end of his ministry, he said, for us to go. And we're going to connect these things. These weren't connected in my brain necessarily over the years, but they are this morning, and I think that will make sense. But first, we're going to have just a little bit of review. You guys remember, I'm going to go all the way back to the Lions class. How many participated in what I would call the Young Lions class that was 2022? It's a long time ago, right? That's ages ago, Ethan, isn't it? Like, wow, what color was your hair back then? Same color, still right? Still black. We talked about Kairos seasons, Chronos seasons, the difference between a Kairos season and a Chronos season. Kairos is one of my sermons over the years was harvest season is a Kairos season. Chronos is just this time marking. I really feel spiritually that we're entering another Kairos time where the Lord is wanting to do some stuff, specifically here in our particular body. I'm not projecting to other bodies. I'm just saying for me in this season. In the spring of 22, we had what I called a Young Lions class, and we started with Psalms 112. Some of you will remember that. We started out with Psalms 112, and we thought we were going to teach a class on the established heart. That's Psalms 112. It's a fixed heart, the established heart. It talks about that. We also talked in that class for some of you who were, actually, I think we had all kinds of ages in there. So we talked about the fear of the Lord was another topic of discussion that went into that class. When that was all said and done, we really didn't talk about an established heart, and we really didn't talk about the fear of the Lord. We talked about puzzles. And for 2 years, I can't tell you hundreds and hundreds of times have I ended up talking about puzzles, but there's lots of people in my life that end up talking about puzzles. I'm not suggesting at all that we're the ones that started that. I'm saying Holy Spirit has been talking about puzzle pieces. He has been talking about puzzle pieces for a couple years. And this relates to the body of Christ, because guess what we are? We're just one big puzzle piece, right? We're not one big puzzle piece. We're multiple puzzle pieces. Interesting, this right here, and I forgot about this. Remember this? Right? This was last January, so this would have been January of 23. Do you remember we had Sunday night services in here? So I, at the beginning of January of 2023, so that had been not this last January, that had been a year and a half ago. Do you remember what I did with this picture? I handed out puzzle pieces. Like, we didn't know what this picture was. I actually handed out puzzle pieces. It was just laying there. So then, for the next 4 weeks, look at this. You guys remember these? I didn't realize that was laying there, but remember all the things on the walls, right? Interesting, just, thinking, the Lord has had us on this puzzle pieces. That, all of that stuff was individuals after, we were 4 weeks. I think it was a fast going on. I think the young kids, some of everybody was fasting and stuff. Make my day. So they were fasting, and there was puzzle pieces, and people were coming, and they were praying in the sanctuary, and they were writing stuff on the board, and then I would take pictures and put those up on the board, and all of a sudden, the church ended up being full of a whole bunch of little Holy Spirit pieces. Make no mistake about something here spiritually. This is a little rabbit trail. Those things are not one-and-done things. The kingdom of God is in sowing, time, space, harvest. There's all kinds of different seasons. Just because something went up there and you're like, oh, well, that time was over and done. Not necessarily, right? Not necessarily at all. Sometimes those things are planted in the Spirit. You talked about depositing things into the Spirit. In the kingdom of God, the way the kingdom works, there are lots of things that, for instance, the ones that have gone before us have deposited that haven't come to pass yet. That God just needed someone to believe in that moment. And that's what he needed in that moment. And then that came together with another piece. And all of a sudden, we end up stepping into something, and we think we did it. In reality, it could have been 100 generations of people that put us into place. Again, kind of rabbit trailing, but this will all tie out here. There is this, I've been in a number of homes over the past 6 months. Ray and I ended up in the back here. yapping about. We're going to Africa here in a couple weeks. That's a lot of planning going into that. We ended up talking at church the other night, just doing some figuring. Ended up here for like, I don't know, it seemed like 25 hours, but it was like three. So we arrived at a place, both Ray and I arrived at a place where we both kind of looked at each other and went, we're restless. There feels like there's this restlessness. And I think you said it, I don't know if I said it, but I think it wasn't that there's anything wrong. It wasn't like, it was not this restlessness like Holy Spirit's going, hey, wake up, dummy, you're doing something wrong. It's not that at all. Let me put it like this. I'm entering harvest season. Harvest season's right around the corner. We're getting ready to harvest. Daryl, you guys getting ready to harvest, right? Is your daily routine and behavior going to change when you enter harvest season? Yes. Was the season before that wrong? No. It just something changed, right? So the church has the hardest time with this in shifting, right? We have the hardest time shifting with Holy Spirit from season to season. We get locked in on something and we think it's got to stay that way forever. In our natural world, Daryl and I are going to shift to harvest season, which means I'm going to have to stop doing this and get in a combine. I have to stop doing this and get in a truck. I'm going to actually have to change my behavior. I'm going to have to change my process in order to get through this season. And then that season will come to an end and another season will start. And all of our lives are like that, but spiritually, we just get so caught up in what I would call pharisaical stuff where we just get locked in. Are you waving at Aunt Linda? Huh? It's great. Okay, moving on. Sorry. January 23rd, that puzzle piece. Interesting, we have, I don't know if you, thinking your oldest daughter's name, Kayla, sorry. So, back to this puzzle piece thing. What? Back to the puzzle piece. I wrote this down because, David told me, I don't know, 6 months ago, but I had it in a note. We started talking about two-dimensional puzzle pieces. If you remember in the Lions class, I handed out six or seven pieces of puzzles to six or seven of you guys in the room. And I didn't let you look at the puzzle pieces, and we didn't do it on paper, but we verbally said, everyone's going to start describing their puzzle piece, and the goal is to figure out what is the puzzle without me showing you the lid of the box. And I think it took 10, 15 minutes, and the six or seven that started to talk about, well, here's what's on my puzzle piece, and it was weird, and so they figured out what was on the puzzle. They literally figured out what was on the puzzle in that particular moment. As we moved over these 2.5 years, I have spiritually, when I was taking these notes the last couple days, we started with this two-dimensional puzzle, and we've had pictures of that, and we're looking at that. David said Kayla brought a word or something. I don't know how long ago it was. Maybe if I say it wrong, please correct, but she said, Dad, that's actually a 3D puzzle piece, and it's borderless. So I had wrote that down a while ago that she had said it's not really a two-dimensional puzzle piece. It's a three-dimensional, and we're speaking to the body of Christ, three-dimensional borderless. Well, then if you remember, the Lord reminded me that we had preached in Ephesians where it's actually four dimensions, the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, right? Ephesians talks about. Another thing, God is trying to get us out of this kind of mentality and get into this kingdom mindset of the body of Christ moving and functioning, I mean, at this point, four-dimensionally, without boundaries, and we're doing this. This becomes really one-dimensional, like we're distinguishing what we're doing here versus the body of Christ functioning at large. Okay.
You know what the fourth dimension is?
I remember when I preached this message and you asked me that question, but I do not, and I'm... You probably answered it then. Please tell me what it is.
Fourth dimension is time.
Oh, that's like that blows. Okay, so
yeah.
Okay, that would take the rest of the morning to actually even think about that because.
No, you're talking about seasons.
Yes, yes. And when you think about God and time, it is so deep and rich because this is where we get hung up a lot. We get hung up in the time factor, in trying to put time around God. So. Speaking of which, 2.5 years ago, I thought I was going to teach on something, and now the Lord is actually going to release that, and I'm pretty sure we're going to actually pick that back up in January, February. Okay, last thing before we I'm going to try to get back to this here and get this wrapped up. Missio Nexus, is that correct? So Linda and I were blessed to be invited to the Missio Nexus Missions Conference. By their numbers, it's the largest missions conference in the United States gathering. It was held in Louisville, Kentucky. Interesting, the keynote speaker, Sierra Leone guy. So who's ministering there, the frontier in the northern part of Sierra Leone. There's a section up there that they consider to be frontier land where there's not been a lot of outreach. And I told Linda, I'm like, that's Peter's brother. Like he looked just like him. I went up and talked to him afterwards. He knew Doc Baker, but fiery, about this tall and just on fire. And I told Lynn, I'm like, that right there could be Pastor Peter's brother, the guy that Ray talks about all the time. So interesting. I hadn't said that to you before. So here's what we're going to do. Here's where I'm released. When we started that particular class, I thought that we would talk about the established heart. I thought we'd talk about the fear of God. And I think I even said to you young adults, we're going to study the gifts of the Spirit. That we're actually going to go line upon line, precept upon precept, and we're going to study the gifts of the Spirit. Well, that never happened. And so 2.5 years later, and really this spring, if we don't do this till January through April time frame, there'll be 3 years from the time that I thought in my brain that the Lord had released that. I just kept holding that before the Lord, which I do. I'll take something he tells me, stick it on a shelf, and go, I don't know if that was him or if that was me. That has come right back up to the top, that I'm supposed to do that. Talk to Linda about that so that you all know I am definitely, don't know what that looks like. I have a number of things that looks like, but I believe that the Lord is going to have us as a body, probably not on Sunday mornings, but have us focus in on the gifts of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, Ephesians chapter 2, 3, and 4, 1 Corinthians 12, 13, 14. Again, a lot of messiness and all that, don't care. I'll just dive right into it, have lots of experience in that, have lots of information, have lots of notes, have spent a lot of time and all of that looking forward to it. So keep that praying. Why is that important? Well, we're talking about Holy Spirit. I strongly feel like the Lord has been building this puzzle. So let's take it from puzzle and take it to where it's actually at. The body of Christ for us has been, the Lord has been knitting us together. He's been functioning. He's been putting pieces together here and there. And we've been meeting in buildings and we've had baptism services and we've had barbecues. I feel like the Lord is building this unit and this family together over 2 or 3 years. And I feel like the next step that he wants to do, which would be like, duh, is that now that he's built a little bit of that community, that trust factor is, okay, for us to really do what he needs us to do, we're going to have to operate in a higher level of Holy Spirit anointing. And we're going to talk about that here on just a second here. So this is a little setup for me. I love to look at how the Lord works and we're talking 3 years, folks. That's not 3 months. It's not 3 weeks. That's a long time to just kind of be patient and this stuff comes around. So just so you know, I'm committing that we're going to do. There'll be a number of you that I'll come around and ask that work in the gifts. I'm pretty confident that some of my senior elders will participate either video conference or what. Lots of really knowledgeable people that can teach on this kind of stuff. So while we're doing that, that's the gifts of the Spirit. I think that's going to happen January, February, March time frame. I don't know when it's actually going to happen, but it'll happen sometime in there. You guys will be a part, right? Oh. You might. Next thing we're going to do, and then we're going to go back to Luke, I promise. Ray and I, just so you guys know, there's a thing at the end. We're going to get a new roof. It's going to be metallic silver, according to Dr. Scott. It's going to be awesome. No. The Shekinah glory. It would look a little bit like that, wouldn't it? Daryl, you probably need to take a look, pick color before you go. Dark blue is my color, just in case you want to pick the same one as me. So actually, that's probably where we're leaning. Ray and I, pick anyone you want, but I pick blue, just so you know. So no pressure. That's why Mom won't pick. She's like, I'm not picking because I already know what Dad wants. Between now and the end of the year, one of the things that came out of Ray and I's meeting as well is there's this restlessness on the inside of him and I, and I think there's a lot. I'm talking to a lot of different people. So I do think there's probably maybe a meeting or two to where we just start kind of having a discussion, not a Sunday morning meeting, but more of a meeting about what's everyone feeling? What's the Lord doing? What should, for instance, the idea of what is Holy Spirit leading us to? Are we in a different season? Not anything we're doing, but we are putting a new roof on the building, so it does make some sense to, okay, how does the space feel? How does what we're doing feel? I think that Ray and I are we're restless enough that we want to engage at a level that starts to bring and say, hey, what's everyone feeling that we should be looking at? What's this look like 5 years from now? What's Holy Spirit doing? What's He saying to you? So forth and so on. So understand that that's coming. That will be heading this way pretty quickly. The reason I'm saying this is because I only preach one more time this year. So you guys won't see me till December. I gave Dr. Scott like 6 Sundays in a row, so he's got to preach.
Can I give him away?
Yeah, it's gonna be a short 6 Sundays. Like it's gonna be bang, bang, bang. So it's gonna be good. Luke chapter 4. You guys are back over there. Look at chapter 3 real quick and 20. Let's look at 21. I want you to be thinking something. What is the purpose of the Holy Spirit? Let's thank Holy Spirit because this is a setup for the discussion that is 3 months away. But I felt like I was supposed to release this and get this moving in terms of this. But let's think about Holy Spirit and what His purpose is. Okay? 3:21. Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon Him, and a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art My beloved Son, in Thee I am well pleased. And Jesus began to be about 30 years of age. Jump over to chapter 4, verse 1. And Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Jump over to verse 13, same chapter. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of Him throughout all the region. And He taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And He came to Nazareth, where He had been brought up, and as His custom was, He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, stood up to read. And there was delivered unto Him the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when He had opened the book, He found the place where it is written, The Spirit, and this is in red, Jesus is reading this, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. He closes the book and says, Today this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. Now, long story short, Jesus, of Nazareth, the Son of God, comes onto the earth. He begins His ministry. He shows up down at John the Baptist, and John baptizes Him. In multiple Gospels, John makes witness that I saw something happen. I saw the Holy Spirit come out of heaven and come down on Jesus. Then Jesus Himself testifies in here in Luke chapter 4 that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He's anointed me. We are talking about the Holy Spirit. We're talking about the Son of God. We're talking about the two most important things that all of you will ever, ever in your lives deal with, the Word of God and the Spirit of God. Okay? They are not disconnected. They always go together, and you must always start back at this place. Okay? The Word of God and the Spirit of God. They are just joined together, and of course, the Father is in that as well. But specifically, what we're talking about here is the Spirit of God is coming on the Word of God. There's a lot of debate. We're not going to go into the debate. Someone might say, well, did He not have the Spirit? Well, He was in the temple preaching at 12, right? All I'm saying is something additionally happened here. Something happened. There's something new happened right here in Luke chapter 4 that had not been before this. There's too much testimony that says, I saw something come on Him. He Himself said, I'm now this. Today, this scripture's fulfilled. Today, and just so you know, that's Isaiah 61. And it's clear. It's almost word for word, Isaiah 61. Again, I'm going to keep refreshing. The Holy Spirit, who we tend to put a lot of emphasis in, we put a lot of emphasis in the Word of God, we're looking for the purpose with the idea that Father God might be trying to wake us up and shake the church. Okay? The assumption that I stand and come to every morning is that somehow something has to change in me. I'm missing something, not in a bad, negative way, but it's this restlessness. It's like, what is this? Like, what's going on? Lord, what are you doing? And at 50-some years old, I'm aware that more than likely it's Holy Spirit wrestling. It's Holy Spirit nudging. It's Holy Spirit saying, we're going to a different season. It's Holy Spirit saying, put the planter away. We're getting in the combine, which means you're going to stop your behavior over there and you're going to start doing something different. I may be all wet. This may just be for me personally. It may not be corporately. I doubt that because I've talked to a lot of you. There's a lot of restlessness, right? There's a lot of what is Holy Spirit doing? Hey, I just gave 3 years of history of our church where Holy Spirit's doing all kinds of stuff. Like, you have to be completely blind spiritually to say, huh, Holy Spirit's doing nothing there, right? Of course He's doing something. He's moving. He's waking us up. So this is the point of this, right? So let's look here. I want to point out a couple things before we go over to Matthew 28 real quick here. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me. The word anointed is the word krio. What do you hear there? What do you hear in krio? Anybody want to take a guess at it? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has krioed me. No, she knows, but she's cheating. Krioed is just Christ. Jesus of Nazareth, the Christoed one. That's all Christ is. Okay? So this is not to diminish the word Christ, but Christ is not Jesus' last name. He is Jesus, the anointed. He is Jesus of Nazareth, the Krioed one. He is Jesus of Nazareth, the Christo. David, when Samuel comes in and he says, where's that other brother at? And David comes. Samuel has a horn of oil. Interesting enough, I'll tell you this real quick here. Saul was anointed by Samuel from a vial. Go back and read it. This is interesting, but I won't dive into this. When Samuel anoints King Saul, who ends up being not great, it was a vial. When he anoints David, it's the ram's horn. Full of oil. It's interesting, but we won't go there. So when Samuel dumps the horn of oil on David, he's essentially, in the Greek language, would be krioing David. Now, here's the interesting thing. It isn't so much that Jesus is anointed because there's lots of anointing. It is what He's anointed with, right? What's the Scripture say? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me. The Spirit of the Lord. Think about Acts chapter 1, verse 8, I think it is, where Jesus says to them, go to the upper room and wait. And what's going to happen? What's going to happen? I heard you, Sandy. He's going to come, but something's going to happen. The Holy Spirit's going to be poured out on you. He's going to come down on you, and you're going to receive power, and you'll go be my witnesses. Okay? So don't get confused with when you see Jesus Christ, it is Jesus. Now in the Old Testament, they would have called Him the Christ. It's like capital T, the anointed one. But it's not so much anointing is pretty common. The krioed word, the Christo word, that's a pretty common Greek word. It is what is He anointed with, which makes it completely different. This man is anointed with the Spirit of God. First one. That's what John saw. There it happened. I just saw it happen. Like the Spirit of God came out of heaven and came on the man that I just baptized. The first one right there. Okay? All the Old Testament prophets had the Spirit help them. Samuel had Him. But I'm pretty convinced scripturally wise that Jesus is the first one that the Holy Spirit came on, came into, became one, and He started to walk out that anointing. Now, here's the next point. What's the purpose? It's right here. I'm not going to, for sake of time, we're not going to go into it a lot, but here's what it is. It's to witness, proclaim, heal, deliver, give sight, and liberate. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He's anointed me to do these things. Okay? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He's anointed me to do these things. Over and over and over and over, the Bible declares when the Spirit of the Lord shows up, it ends up, something happens. We end up doing stuff. The purpose, witness, proclaim, heal, deliver, give sight, liberate. Jesus says, today this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. Today, the Spirit of the Lord has come upon me, and I am going to go do these things. Who's he going to go do them for? He's going to do them for the poor, the brokenhearted, the crushed, the captives, the blind, and the bruised. Wow. He's going to go heal, deliver, liberate, help the poor, the brokenhearted, the crushed, the bruised. You get the point. That's what the purpose of Holy Spirit is. It's always been His purpose. Are there other purposes? Of course there's other purposes. Is there a purpose of Holy Spirit just to be a comfort? Yeah. But make no mistake, the Word of God to me is crystal clear. The function of the Holy Spirit is to go do these things. Go preach, go proclaim, go heal, go deliver, go liberate, and go do it with the poor, the brokenhearted, the crushed, the captive, those who need it. Moving on. This was His mission, it was His work, it's His ministry, and guess whose it is now? Say it. It's ours. It's now ours. I'm going to make this challenge and I'll move on because this is baked into who I have been for, I don't know, the last 3 to 5 years. And this will be part of what we discuss. And I'm open for a good conversation about this. And I'm saying right out loud that I could be completely wrong on this. One of the reasons that the church, in my opinion, is dying, one of the reasons that the church is struggling, one of the reasons that Holy Spirit's over here going, wake up, one of the reasons the world's in a bit of a mess, one of the reasons even that men, I preached a sermon in July, men sometimes don't like church. I don't think ladies do either. I think there's sometimes what is happening in the environment is we have left the mission. We have actually mistakenly, some of it, demonic activity, has convinced us that the purpose of the Holy Spirit is for us to linger, that the purpose of the Holy Spirit is so we feel good, that the purpose of the Holy Spirit is so we have a nice life. The purpose of the Holy Spirit is to go heal, proclaim, set at liberty, liberate the poor, the brokenhearted, the crushed. That's the first purpose of the Holy Spirit. It's still His purpose today. All these other things are offshoots of that, and that's great. But when we have taken the minor thing that Holy Spirit does and made it the major thing, I'll say this without getting, well, I probably would get a little bit in trouble, but I'm not trying to. I'm trying to be encouraging. Yeah, we'll wait. I won't say that. I won't say it. Go over to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. I'm excited on the inside of me about what Holy Spirit's doing because I think that there's this stirring, there is this releasing of what Holy Spirit's going to do. Matthew 28. Let's start in verse 16. This is the end of Matthew, right? This is the last part of his book. It says, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Now remember, they're doubting him because they saw him die on the cross, right? They saw him go into the grave. Some of them are still wondering, is this resurrected dude real? Like, did this really happen? Right? So there's still a little bit of doubt here. Hey, mark that as okay. It's okay to doubt a little bit sometimes. Like those of you who don't are just lying to yourselves. John the Baptist doubted. He sent people and said, go ask him if he's the real deal. Okay, verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke unto them and said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. End of the world, yeah. This is this one over here. We already talked about this one just a little bit. We could have spent a long time on this. We won't spend too much time on this. Go therefore. Something new again has happened here. I pointed out that something new happened here. It had to have happened because the witness the witness and personal testimony of Jesus is, before I stepped into this moment, something wasn't there. Now I'm telling you that today this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. I am anointed today. I do think, just to be clear, to unravel the secret, I think he came to the earth as a man, walked in the same anointing of the Holy Ghost that we ended up getting in Acts. Our pattern is just mirroring his. He got baptized by John, Holy Spirit came on him, and he went. Our pattern is the same. Go wait in the upper room, wait for the Holy Spirit to come on you. When he comes on you, you'll go be witnesses for me. The pattern's identical. I think Jesus was the first pattern and we're the second pattern. But understand that something new has happened. He's saying to them, all authority's been given to me. I have conquered something that me and my Father and the Holy Spirit have been working since the Garden of Eden. And I conquered it. Like, yes, I was the sinless. I did die on the cross. Yes, I defeated Satan. Yes, I'm standing here. Yes, I'm alive. Yes, I'm going back to heaven. Yes, the Holy Spirit's going to come on you. And all power, both in heaven and earth, has been given to me. Therefore, you can go. Still, same purpose. Same exact purpose. Therefore, go. There's one more scripture. Jump back over to Matthew chapter 9. Would be version, a little more detail on the going part. Let's go back over to chapter 10 and then we're on my last segment here. Let's go to 9. It's good. How did you know that?
You said 9 the first time, you said 10.
Oh, I did. Okay then. Smart Alec. Verse 37 of chapter 9. Verse 37, chapter 9. Then he said unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into the harvest. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. I want to stop there just for a second. We're not going to read the names. Going back to, remember, Matthew 10 here is before Matthew 28. Luke 4, we know Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he sent me to do all these things. Matthew 10 is kind of almost he's showing the disciples what he's going to ultimately leave them and have them do while he's in heaven. This is, he's still here on earth. Go do this while I'm still here. But look at what he says for them to do. He still wants them to do these things. Go, cast out unclean spirits, heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Jump over with me to verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent forth, commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Here again, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead. That's taking the stakes up a little bit more. Cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. And to whatever city or town you shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till you go. And when you come into a house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it not be worthy, let your peace return to you. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words when you depart out of the house or city, shake off the dust from your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Verse 16, behold, look and see, pay attention. I am sending you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore be wise as servants and harmless as doves. Heal, cleanse, raise the dead, cast out devils. I am just pounding over and over and over and over and over this morning that the purpose of the Holy Spirit is to support us when we go. The purpose of the Holy Spirit is to support us when we go. The purpose of the Holy Spirit is to bring comfort to us. Make no mistake. As we project a discussion where the body of Christ, both both mature members, both young people. I see a whole corporate gathering in January, February, March, April, how that works out, evenings, afternoons, don't care. When we engage this conversation about gifts of the Spirit, fruits of the Spirit, what is the Holy Spirit doing? Why does the church in 2025 not look like the church in 36 AD, right? What's the differences? I promise you, one of the things that I will bring to the table from my point of view is because the church in 2025 is not going like the church in AD 36 went. And those gifts aren't for meetings where it's just sheep among sheep. Did you hear me? There are thousands. This is what I was going to say earlier, and I'm not sure. I'll say it nicely. 95% of what goes on in the U.S. as it relates to Holy Spirit is the idea that Holy Spirit's job is simply to get us all together in a convention of sheep among sheep. Because that's pretty much all that's happening in the U.S. this morning. Is that bad? No. We need to have sheep among sheep. But it's 95% of what most Christians in the United States do. They don't go to sheep among wolves. They're not being taken up before governors and kings. They're not being persecuted. Their sons aren't killing them. They're not killing their sons. Their children aren't killing them. Just read the rest of this chapter. I stopped in verse 16. Read it on down. Jesus says, I'm sending you as sheep among wolves. This is a sheep convention. And this is mostly where people go every week, and it's the only thing they do. And they're searching, well, why isn't Holy Spirit doing this? And why isn't Holy Spirit? Because He's not at the sheep conventions, folks. He'll go with us when we go to the wolves. What should this be? This should be a sheep convention saying, man, those wolves tore my head off last week. Okay, well, good job, Nick. Get ready. Go do it again. Like, that's what they did. He said, I'm sending you as sheep among wolves. I won't do this, but I could go through and I'll promise you, and I'm preaching to me. I'm not preaching at you. I am preaching to me. I do not live among wolves. I'm not sure if I could go find any. But I'm very aware after Louisville, there's a bunch of wolves in this world and there's a bunch of Christians living among them. And it's a challenge to me. It's a challenge to me. If I can't go find wolves, at least I can go find some barking dogs. Like, okay, I might not be able to go find, I'm not going to be able to sheep among wolves, but I'm going to go be a sheep among some barking dogs, right? Or among some pet dogs or whatever. Who knows? So, we want the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord's waking us up. There's no question about that. But the motive down in here, right? What is it that we think Holy Spirit's purpose is? We just need to switch them. I'm not saying Holy Spirit doesn't want us to love each other well. Fine. I'm not saying Holy Spirit doesn't want us to come sing songs and hear good sermons. The futility of preaching to me is aggravating. I don't even like to preach. Like, I don't schedule myself very often. Like, it doesn't create change. I can change these guys because I'll go sit with them on the front porch and I'll make them change. Like, I'll take them down their bedroom and go, pick that up, right? Here, it's like, okay, futility preaching's fine. I'm good with that. But I think Holy Spirit struggles with it as well because we hear it and we do it, but we're still not going, okay? I know, I'm on a soapbox. I'm sorry. I'll end with this. I'll back that up. This is my opinion. I feel like the Holy Spirit put this in my heart. And it kind of wrecked me, just so you know. It wasn't something easy. So when I say the number one, it would be Nick's opinion. I believe the number one way to quench the Holy Spirit is to not go. Did you hear me? Because if that's His number one purpose and you don't go, then you're not following Him. The number one way to quench the Holy Spirit is just to choose not to go anywhere else than this sheep convention. I know that's hard. I know it's hard for me. Like, he didn't say it to me to say to you. He said it to me and it shook me. Like, I've been wrestling with this. I'm messed up because of it. I'm agitated because of it. But that's a strong statement. I understand that's a strong statement. I looked at the scripture. There's not black and white of how to quench the Holy Spirit. But based on what I'm reading Holy Spirit, just a little bit that I gave you guys this morning, when he comes on the scene, his mission is to go. Almost every single time. So if we're not going, right? If there's not some method of going, it's potential. Last thing. In order to preach the gospel to the poor, you'll have to go get among some poor people. Duh. In order to heal the brokenhearted, you're going to have to go get among some brokenhearted. In order to go deliver the captives, you're going to have to go get among some captives. In order to give sight to the blind, you're going to have to locate some blind people. In order to liberate the bruised, you're going to have to go find some crushed people. The purpose of the Holy Spirit is to do the things that Jesus said in Luke chapter 4 he was to do. If we're not amongst those people, then there's no way we're going to be delivering them. There's no way we're going to be fulfilling what the Holy Spirit wants us to do. So as we prep for a discussion about really awesome, powerful gifts, gifts of healing, gifts of miracles, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, all kinds of wonderful, powerful Holy Spirit turned the world upside down. These 12 guys went out. If you remember this, when they came back, do you remember when they came back from this sending out? Jesus sent them out. When they came back, they were thrilled. If you remember, right? They came back and said, you can't believe it. Like, people got healed. Like, blind eyes opened. And I think I even preached that was the first church service. Because it says they got together and they testified about how awesome it was that Holy Spirit met them out there. What different testimony of what we're doing, right? Let's go out there with the wolves. Let's come back and testify to how awesome Holy Spirit delivered people out there, right? And watch the Holy Spirit do this with us over the next time frame. I'm not putting a time frame on it, right? I'm not putting that fourth dimension in there, but I'm confident Holy Spirit is at a place, at a time. There's a lot of hunger. There's a lot of energy underneath the layers here that it's time. Like, there's an awakening, and Holy Spirit is going to do something. He's going to give us some revelation, going to give us some stuff, and there are going to be some people raise the dead. I don't know what that looks like, but maybe somebody in this room will actually do that, and you'll win a whole town to Jesus because of it. Remember, signs and wonders, Jesus said. Signs and wonders were for the unbelievers a lot of times. Like, God brought those in order to get whole cities coming to him. Like, I'm believing for that. Amen? Sorry that I went a little bit over. Not really. I'm right on time. But anybody got any comment? Feeling just for a second here. Anybody have anything?
I got something. But
please.
I'm not a soloist. So at Bible Call on Tuesday, we sang this song that I sang a little bit of version is a prayer, but building up the kingdom, building up the kingdom, building up the kingdom of the Lord. So brother, won't you help me? Sister, won't you help me? Building up the kingdom of the Lord. It's so high, you can't get over it. It's so low, you can't get under it. It's so wide, you can't get around it. You got to go through the door. So help me build the kingdom.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else?
First John 2:4 was kind of hitting me when you were speaking. And I
think that's what he's been doing in our body for the past 3 years, is just breaking that down so that we can understand better and walk in a safe place. That's what the church is supposed to function as. When you said they come in together and then they gave their testimonies, because it was a safe place to be that for each other. And I feel like that's what this has become. And it's
good stuff.